and pulled the old I forgot my wallet trick. And I would have forgotten all about it, but today I drove up. He said, I'll pick you up and we'll go to a restaurant. And he found a restaurant in Brockport that didn't take credit cards, and he just happened to be out of cash. So next time Pastor Folk invites you out to eat, don't get too excited. It may not go the way you want it to. I guess y'all got to pay him more or something. Well, a Jewish rabbi and a Catholic priest met at an annual 4th of July picnic. They were old friends. They began their usual banter. This baked ham is really delicious, the priest teased the rabbi. You really ought to try it. I know it's against your religion, but I can't understand why such a wonderful food should be forgiven. You don't know what you're missing. You just haven't lived until you've tried Mrs. Warren's prized Virginia baked ham. Tell me, Rabbi, when are you going to break down and try it? The rabbi looked at the priest with a big grin and said, at your wedding. Second, religion. Man, religion will enslave you, won't it? It surely will. We thank you for praying for us. We've had quite a year since you saw us last. This attorney in town and some merchants, they got the bright idea that they would pay college students to come out and harass us when we were street preaching. And then a bar owner caught on. He offered free drinks to college students that would come out and harass us. And normally we'll have 10, 15 people street preaching in our town on a Friday. And so they got a dozen people come out here and harass us. And so we just said something at church. And then we had 30 people, and then they had 40, and then we had 60, and then they had 60. And you never seen such a circus in all your life. And we would call the different merchants downtown and say, how's this working out for you? And so anyway, they pushed and pushed and pushed, and eventually they called this city council meeting, and they were going to vote to try and set up one of these free speech zones, which means the rest of the town is a no free speech zone. And so we prayed and we prayed and we went, and when the city commissioners got there for that meeting, it was standing room only. We had 170 some adults packing the chambers, and they didn't want to open it for public discussion, but that's the rules. They had to do it. And we spent a wonderful evening preaching the gospel and talking about the laws and the liberties that we have, freedoms that we have in our country. And the Lord granted us that victory, and things settled down, quieted down. But I tell you, if you ever pick up a newspaper, watch a newscast, and believe what you're reading, what you're hearing, you've never dealt with the news media. I'm telling you, they did everything in the world to make us look like a bunch of crazies, criminals, all the rest of that. But God gave us a victory, and we thank the Lord for it, and it's a blessing. The mayor and the city attorney, all those people sitting up there, and the mayor asked me, I was at the microphone, he said, don't y'all think that it hurts business for y'all to be down there doing what you're doing? I said, sir, we're down there for 2 hours on a Friday afternoon. I said, we have the people and the manpower. We can be down there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. If you really want to push this thing, we can push it. And he looked at me, and he looked at that crowd. And he looked at the city attorney. The city attorney nodded his head. he said, they can do it. They can do it. So praise the Lord for soldiers willing to stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ. One thing's a real blessing. The chief of police, city attorney called on him, and the chief of police said, it is my opinion that they break no laws, and they don't do anything these people are saying that they do. And that's good. That's good to have good reputation like that. It doesn't make the world like any better, but it helps. So we thank you for praying for us. We just keep on trying to get the word out. We're dinosaurs, you know. We're just the last little remnant of what used to be in this country. All right, 2 Kings 24. What What better place to start a week of Bible meetings? 2 Kings 24. I want to encourage you, too, about your vacation Bible school. Our people work for 2 weeks door to door in the Florida heat. It takes about 30 minutes to be soaking wet. You're going house to house at this time of year in Florida. But put out flyers for 2 weeks. And yesterday we had 77 area boys and girls come to vacation Bible school. Today they had 83 came out, calling for rides, and moms and dads bringing them in church vans, that sort of thing. So it's worth it. It's worth it. Get those boys and girls the gospel. So I encourage you to do it. 2 Kings chapter 24 and verse number 10. The Bible says, at that time the servants of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up against Jerusalem, and the city was besieged. And Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came against the city, and his servants did besiege it. And Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, went out to the king of Babylon, he and his mother and his servants and his princes and his officers, and the king of Babylon took him in the 8th year of his reign. You'd think the king of Babylon be content to have this king and the royal family. But verse 13 says, and he carried out thence all the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king's house, and cut in pieces all the vessels of gold which Solomon, king of Israel, had made in the temple of the Lord, as the Lord had said. And he carried away all Jerusalem, and all the princes, and all the mighty men of valor, even 10,000 captives, and all the craftsmen and smiths, none remained, save the poorest sort of the people of the land. Now come to chapter 25, 2 Kings 25. Verse number 13. And the pillars of brass that were in the house of the Lord, and the bases and the brazen sea that was in the house of the Lord, did the Chaldees break in pieces, and carried the brass of them to Babylon. And the pots, and the shovels, and the snuffers, and the spoons, and all the vessels of brass wherewith they ministered, took they away. And the fire pans, and the bowls, and such things as were of gold, in gold, and of silver, in silver, the captain of the guard took away. Now, Father, we pray tonight that you'd help us. We look to your word. We've enjoyed singing your praises. We've enjoyed hearing others sing your praises. We've enjoyed being with your people in this new facility. And it's beautiful, Lord, and we thank you for it. God, we pray that you'd help us tonight. New location, facing a new direction, sitting in new seats. But Lord, the same Bible, the same need, the same opposition. And we pray, God, you'd help us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Did it take you a while to find a seat that was exactly proportionate to where you were in the other building? It's hard. You know, if this building had been facing the same direction, it had been easier to know just where to sit. But some of you are going to be discombobulated for months because somebody got the spot that should have been yours before you could get to it. And it's going to take a while before that pew conforms to your... Anyway, we are such creatures of habit, aren't we? Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, that's all we need to say. We think of Babylon, we think of the world. We think of Babylon, we think of the enemy. And we think of Babylon, we think of evil and of wickedness. At least I hope that we do. And we realize here in this passage that the nation of Israel has fallen into deep sin, terrible sin. And God has allowed this Nebuchadnezzar to come in. And he is going to carry them into captivity. And he did take the king, and he did take the royal family, and he did take the most noble of the young princes, Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. And we know about that. But do you find it surprising that Nebuchadnezzar didn't stop with the royal family, and he didn't stop with the men and the women that could be of some use and of some value to him. He went into the very house of God, and he saw a bowl that was used in the service of God, and desired to strip that away. And he saw a little hook with an upside down little tiny spoon on it that was used to snuff out the light of a candlestick. And realizing that belonged to the sacred service of God, he snatched that and carried it away. And he saw some knives and some spoons and silverware and carried that captive. I thought as I read that passage how our enemy, the devil, when he looks upon a church like this, when he looks upon a church like the one that I'm privileged to pastor down in Florida, he doesn't just want the pastor. He doesn't just want the choir director. He doesn't just want the deacon. He'll take every little boy if he can get him. He'll take every little girl if he can get his hands on them. He'll wreck every single fellowship, every single family, every single classroom. The devil is not content to inflict damage upon the house of God. The devil has a longing and a desire to destroy everything that pertains to the worship of Almighty God. You know, the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians that Antichrist, when he comes, he will oppose and exalt himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped. Now, wouldn't he be content to wreck half of it? Wouldn't he be content to wreck 75% of it? Wouldn't he be content to tear down the great churches and leave the not so great ones? Oh, no. Oh, no. His hatred for God, his resentment for the Lord is so great that he's not content to pull the king off the throne. He's not content to carry the royal family from the palace into the house of bondage. He's not content until every last vessel in that house is broken, until every last spoon is in his pocket, until every knife that was ever used to cut up a single sacrifice and offered on an altar to a holy God is in his possession. That's what he desires. And I'm telling you tonight, you might be here this evening and you're praying about the mission field or you're praying about the ministry and people say, boy, you better watch out. The devil's after people like you. He's after you if you're going to go home tonight and watch TV all night. He's after you tonight if you're going to leave here and go out and hit a night spot. Listen, if you have any relationship whatsoever to God Almighty, He wants you in His possession. He wants you out of the house of God, out of the service of God, out of the Bible of God, out of the songbook of God. He doesn't care how great your contribution is or how seemingly insignificant your contribution is. He wants you because you belong to God. Maybe you've never been to Israel. I never had a desire to go. And then a family in our church sent my wife and I back in 98. I'm so glad that we went. It was such a blessing. But whether you've been or just seen pictures of the place, it's really odd. It's rocks. It's dirt. The beaches aren't pretty. The mountains aren't high. The trees are little stubby, scrubby things. And all around it is oil. Saudi Arabia, oil. Jordan, oil. The cedars of there's money everywhere, but in Israel. So why does the whole world hate that little group of people and want to get their paws on that little piece of property just because God loves it? That's it. There's no other reason for it. Resources? No. Minerals? Not really. The only sea they got is dead. Try to water ski in it, the boat sits there and you stand on the skis and you can't move. Try to swim in it, just float. Crazy. But it belongs to God. Over in Rochester, great corporate buildings and great skyscrapers and great auditoriums and great theaters and great parks, and the devil walks right by him heading for a church. He's not interested in splitting the Lions Club tonight. He's not interested in infiltrating the Masonic Lodge tonight with people that are carnal lodge members. But he's looking for a church. And when he finds a church, he's not looking for the big guys. He'll take them if he can get them. And he's not looking for the prominent families. He'll take them if he can get them. But he'll get anybody. He can haul one teenager out of the service of God out there in that world. He's happy to do it. He can get one young lady to surrender her purity. He's glad to do it. He can get one young man to pop open the first can of beer in his life and introduce himself to all that goes with it. He's more than happy to do it. The devil, he doesn't just want the temple. He wants the spoons. He doesn't just want the high priest. He wants the bowls. That's how much he hates God. It's not about you. Well, I don't think I'm all that important. You're probably not. I'm not. Jesus is important. The Holy Ghost is important. None of us are important. But if you belong to Jesus Christ, he wants to wreck you. If you've ever sung on his platform, he wants you to stop. If you've ever quoted one verse of Scripture, he wants you to quit doing that. That's just how he is, how hateful he is. He hates God. He hates everything that pertains to God. And so the Bible says, look at it again in verse number 10. Well, let's start back at 10, 25, 10. Let's read this again. No. Farther. Let's go to verse 8. 2 Kings 25, 8. Fifth month on the seventh day of the month, which is the 19th year of King Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came Nebuzaradan, captain of the guard, servant of King Babylon of Jerusalem. And he burnt the house of the Lord. We'd expect him to do that. And the king's house, that's logical. And all the houses of Jerusalem, and every great man's house burnt he with fire. That's what the devil would like to do. He'd like to burn down all the big stuff, all the seemingly important stuff. And all the army of the Chaldees that were with the captain of the guard break down the walls of Jerusalem round about. Now the rest of the people that were left in the city, the fugitives that fell away to the king of Babylon with the remnant of the multitude that Nebuzaradan, captain of the guard, carry away. So now he's got the people. He's wrecked the cities, torn down the walls, he's burned the houses, he's got the people. But the captain of the guard left the poor of the land to be vine dressers and husbandmen, turned some of them into slaves, servants. And the pillars of brass that were in the house of the Lord, and the bases and the brazen seat was in the house of the Lord, did the Chaldees break in pieces and carried the brass of them to Babylon. You know what they did with that brazen seat? They washed and got clean. You know what the devil wants to do? He wants to destroy that which makes God's people clean. That's it. I don't think he... Listen, you read about that creation of the devil. With the music, the music's in him. The instruments are in him. I don't know that he's got a preference in music. But there's songs that make you holy. He doesn't like those. You know what I'm saying? If you'll take those tunes and put new words to them about fornication and booze and dope and rebellion, I don't believe he's against those tunes. Those songs make you think holy and ponder holy and desire holy, and they encourage holy, and he'd like to get you away from those songs because anything makes you clean is in opposition to his purposes for your life. Fellowship keeps you clean. You want to know what's around our place? It's probably the same here. I don't need to know that a young man is getting into sin. All I got to do is watch him lose desire for fellowship. Where you been? Oh, nowhere. Well, I've missed you. What's going on? Oh, nothing's going on. Something's going on. If you don't want to be around guys that have helped you stay holy, something's going on that's not holy. I'd be a genius to figure that out. Do you know what the devil's against? He's against what washes you. He's against what cleanses you. He's against what keeps you pure and keeps you clean. And so he destroys that brazen sea. And then the Bible says in verse 14, and the pots and the shovels. Now think about this. They bring these animals, right? I don't know if you've ever thought about, well, you know, back in the Old Testament, they offer sacrifices. You never thought about it. You got these big, gigantic animals, hundreds of them in pens, who hear the one in line in front of them being slaughtered, which means they're freaking out. Okay? So there's filth, there's dung all over the place. Then they're cutting up these animals and throwing the guts in big piles. And then they're taking the meat and throwing it on an altar and they're burning raw meat and hide in fire hot enough to burn the bones to ashes. That's what's going on all day long. It is a bloody, smelly, hot, dirty mess. And then at the end of the day, they take the guts and put them in these pots. And they take the ashes and put them in pots and they carry them out. They're garbage cans. And this Nebuzaradan and his soldiers come in there and said, what are those garbage cans? Well, they use those in sacrifices. What kind of sacrifice? Well, they worship God. When they're done worshiping God, they put the waste in there and they carry it out. Well, then get them, destroy them. He wants God's garbage cans. That's how much he hates the Lord. That's how much he hates the work of the Lord. He'll wreck a Christian church. He'll wreck a Christian radio station. He'll wreck a ministry. He'll wreck the little lady that's sending $10 a month to the ministry. Anything pertaining to God, he wants it. And the pots and the shovels and the snuffers and the spoons and all the vessels of brass therewith they ministered took they away. And the fire pans and the bowls and such things as were of gold. You say, well, you know, he wants the gold, but I'll just be a bowl. He'll leave me alone. No, you don't understand. It's not going to help you to go carnal instead of spiritual. It's not going to help you to be half-hearted instead of whole-hearted. It's not going to help you be 30-fold instead of 100-fold. If your daddy loves Jesus, the devil wants you. If your mother loves Jesus, the devil wants you. If you go to a church that stands for Jesus, the devil wants you out of it. If you ever memorized Bible verses when you were a child and now you're not interested in them, but you have to come until you're 19 and then I'm out of here. He wants you. He wants the pot and the bowls as he wants the silver stuff and the gold stuff. That's the devil. All right, let's turn to Bibles. 2 Chronicles 28. 2 Chronicles chapter 28. What better place to go in a revival meeting than 2 Chronicles 28? All the great evangelists preach from 2 Chronicles 28. Now, what had happened here? The Bible says in verse 22, and in the time of his distress, did he trespass yet more against the Lord? This is that King Ahaz. I'd like that to be your record. Ahaz, who's that? You know, the guy that in tough times he turned harder against God than he had been before. Oh, that, yeah, that Ahaz. For he sacrificed unto the gods of Damascus, which smote him. And he said, because the gods of the king of Syria helped them, therefore will I sacrifice to them that they may help me. But they were the ruin of him and of all Israel. And Ahaz gathered together the vessels of the house of God and cut in pieces the vessels of the house of God and shut up the doors of the house of the Lord. And he made him altars in every corner of Jerusalem. In every several city of Judah, he made high places to burn incense unto other gods and provoked to anger the Lord God of his fathers. Now, this almost 100 years earlier. Listen now. The vessels were still in the house of God, but they weren't being used in the house of God for the purpose for which God had made them. Okay? Here's a bowl supposed to be used in the worship of God, but it's just sitting there not being used in the worship of God. Here's a knife supposed to be used to cut up sacrifices, but it's not being used to cut up sacrifices, just locked up in a closet somewhere. Okay, ever see that? So, It doesn't matter to the devil if it's a dead Presbyterian church or an on-fire Independent Baptist church. If it's got God's name on it, he wants to ruin it. You say, listen, you say, why, that denomination, they went liberal 50 years ago. Who cares if they ordained sodomites? The world does. The devil wants to get bad churches to become worse. And he wants to get mediocre churches to become bad. And he wants to get good churches to become mediocre. That's what he wants. But here's what I want you to see. Because some of you are like, well, you know, I'm gonna go easy on this serving God thing, and then the devil won't bother me. Nebuchadnezzar is after vessels that have been out of use and out of service for years. He doesn't want them because they're doing so much for God. He wants them because they belong to God. And if you think that dropping out of a good church and getting in a mediocre church is going to get the devil off your back, you're wrong. And if you think, you know, not reading your Bible so much as you used to and just kind of cooling it's going to lessen your troubles and lessen your trials, you're wrong. Everything that belongs to the house of God, Nebuchadnezzar wants it. And everything that belongs to the Lord our God, in this day, Satan wants it. Now, come to Ezra chapter number 1. Ezra chapter 1. His desire was not just to remove these things from the house of God. Ezra 1, verse 7. Also Cyrus the king brought forth the vessels of the house of the Lord, which Nebuchadnezzar had brought forth out of Jerusalem and had put them in the house of his gods. It's an even greater triumph for Nebuchadnezzar. He didn't just take them away from God. He gave them to his gods. You know, I almost believe, and listen, I've been doing this a long time. You don't even want to hear how long I've been doing this. I started the church when I was 21 and single. Don't do that. It's still going today, praise the Lord, but without me. Now listen, I've been at this a long time. I believe if you gave the devil a choice, I can ruin that preacher or get his son to serve me. I think the devil will have a tough time deciding which one he'd prefer. I believe if Satan was given a choice, you can wreck that godly woman or you can have her daughter. I believe the devil will have a hard time deciding which would bring him more pleasure. You know something? He didn't just take these vessels from the house of God. He put them in the house of his gods. It's a greater insult. It's a greater heartache than if he had taken them and thrown them in a furnace of fire and melted them down and buried them in the earth. What was made the service of God, what was consecrated and devoted to the service of the Lord, is now being used to serve Molech and Ashtoreth and Baal and Dagon. It's incredible. Quite a thrill in a church when a mom brings that little baby for the first time, and it, boy, we have it at our place. All the ladies talk about how beautiful it is. Oh, it's so beautiful. Really? How come you didn't marry a guy with no teeth and bald head and wrinkled up face? It ain't that beautiful. See, that's a man talking. Ladies say, oh, it's so beautiful. I look at him and say, man, God's amazing. Because he is. He's amazing. But that ain't, I wouldn't have married that. I'm just... My wife says I say too much. Do you know something? There's not a man. Listen, these people say they march in these parades with their signs, you know. But there's not a man in America holding his newborn son in the hospital tonight thinking, I hope he turns out gay. I'll be so proud. Come on, you hear what I'm saying? Now, when he's 20, you might march in a parade because you love your son and you'd turn your back on God to stay in good with your son. But that ain't what you're hoping when he's born. You know what? The devil doesn't have to ruin a preacher. He can ruin his son. He'd be just as happy. Have that boy serving in the house of Nebuchadnezzar's gods. Listen, come on. I'm going somewhere here. Don't quit on me. We've seen young ladies grow up in our church, sing on our platform, participate in everything, be just as sweet, just as pure when they walk that aisle, and 2 years later turn their back on God and on their husband out in the world. I'm telling you, there's things worse than dying. For a mother, for a father, for a spouse. You know in the Bible, I'll get back to this in a second. You know in the Bible, murder is a death penalty offense. Old Testament, death penalty. So is adultery. You know why? Because murder destroys somebody's life. So does adultery. A crowd this size, somebody here has had a husband or a wife betray them. And it's horrible. And the devil, listen, he wants every marriage. He wants every home. He wants every bus route. He wants every vacation Bible school. He wants every youth worker. He wants everybody that's ever sung a special in a church. He doesn't just want to take them out of the house of God. He wants to mock God by using them in his service. And that's what he's done with these vessels. Now I'm going to show you something. Well, let me give you the verse. You know the verse. Don't lose Ezra. Come to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Because we're not just talking about spoons tonight and basins and snuff dishes and all that sort of thing. Snuff dish. My grandmother had a snuff dish. She was a snuffer. I don't think that's the same kind here in the Bible. 2 Timothy 2. Verse 20, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Man therefore purge himself of these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. So what's he doing? He's comparing saved people in the New Testament house of God, the church, to those spoons and knives and chargers and bowls in the Old Testament house of God. You see that? Now here's the blessing. Mom, Dad. Because there's things we talk about in this church tonight we'd have never talked about 15 years ago because they weren't going to happen. And there's some things I have to deal with in our church that I can't believe I'm having to deal with because I told everybody that I was going to teach the Bible and our people weren't going to do those things. And there must be some people in there that aren't our people because they're doing them. But look at Ezra chapter 1, verse 1. 70 years have gone by. That's a long time. 7 decades since Nebuchadnezzar took those people and those vessels into captivity. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in writing. Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth and hath charged me to build him an house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God which is in Jerusalem. Who ever heard a heathen king talk like that? But God Almighty came into the throne room with the man that took the throne from Nebuchadnezzar and woke him up one night and said, you are going to send my people back. You hear me? Yes, sir. You want to eat grass like an ox for 7 years? No, sir. You want me to try to lay handwriting on the wall? No, no, sir. You just tell me what to do. Okay. Send them home. Praise the Lord. And whosoever remaineth in any place where he sojourneth, let the men of the place help him with silver and with gold and with goods and with beasts beside the freewill offering for the house of God that is at Jerusalem. The Lord said, and by the way, I want you to pay for it. Don't just send them back, pay for it. And when they get back, I want them to build me a house, and you're going to pay for that too. How about that? That's the Lord. Then rose up with the chief of the father, up the chief of the fathers of Judah and Benjamin, the priests, the Levites, with all them whose spirit God had raised to go build the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem. And all they that were about them strengthened their hands with vessels of silver, with gold, with goods, with beasts, with precious things beside all that was willingly offered. So the Lord's sitting up in heaven and all these people are going back from captivity and they're going back to rebuild the house of the Lord. And Cyrus is financing the project. It's just one great big happy time. Also, Cyrus the king brought forth the vessels of the house of the Lord, which Nebuchadnezzar had brought forth out of Jerusalem and had put them in the house of his gods. Even those did Cyrus, king of Persia, bring forth by the hand of Mithridath, the treasurer, and numbered them unto Sheshbazzar, the prince of Judah. And this is the number of them, 30 chargers of gold, 1,000 chargers of silver, 29 knives, 30 basins of gold. Now, you know, the Bible's it's a strange book, man. There's not a person living who cares that 29 knives came back from Babylon. But you know something? If that knife belonged to you, you'd be glad that God remembered exactly where the devil put it when he took it away. And you'd be glad that God made sure that he was going to get that thing back home where it belonged before he was through. God said, I am bringing my people back from captivity and I'm not leaving one vessel behind. You count, make sure you got them all before you move out. 7 years is a long time, but God got those knives home. The Bible says in verse number 10, 30 basins of gold, silver basins of a second sort, 410. He said, what are these? I don't know. Or some kind of vessels. Well, are they silver? They don't look like silver. They gold. They look like silver. I don't know what they are. Well, where'd they come from? And they looks like house of God stuff to me. Okay, we're sending it back. Come on, ladies, right now. How many bowls in your house? You don't know. How many forks? You don't know. How many knives? You don't have any idea. Now, you know when you're out, because your husband who couldn't possibly wash one tells you there's no clean silverware. That's his job. But God, 70 years later, knows exactly how many bowls belong in his house. And he is demanding their return. And he said, we're not leaving here until we got every bowl. We're not leaving here until we got every knife. Now you might say, who cares about those bowls? Maybe nobody but God. But God does. God does care. All the vessels of gold and of silver were 5,400. All these did Sheshbazzar bring up with them of the captivity that were brought up from Babylon unto Jerusalem. Here's all I know. That's all I know. I never thought so many of our precious boys and girls would be snatched from the house of God and would tonight be serving other gods. In my worst nightmare, I never thought that would happen. But I'm telling you, if it takes 70 years in this life, or it takes the trumpet sound in the rapture, every vessel that ever belonged to God and was ever sanctified for His use in His house, He is going to bring it home. Hallelujah. Praise God. And it doesn't matter how long it's been since anybody saw that knife. And it doesn't matter how long it's been since that bowl ever sat in a holy place. And it doesn't matter how long it's been since Nebuchadnezzar chopped that thing to pieces and seemed to have destroyed it. God said, we are not leaving here until every vessel that belongs to me is packed and loaded and headed for home. Hallelujah. Grandma, it might be 70 years. You know, a lot of people left Judah and headed to Babylon, weren't alive when the vessels came back. But they came back. And a lot of the people that prayed along the way and said, oh God, stop Nebuchadnezzar, oh God, do something. They might have stepped into eternity without ever seeing the answer to their prayers. But I'm telling you, one day, our God is going to take the devil by the front of his shirt and he's going to pull him right up to his face and he's going to say, I want a full accounting of everything that belongs to me and I am taking it home tonight and you better turn it over, buddy. The vessels are coming back. They belong to God. Now let's look back to 2 Timothy. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. I want them all back tonight. I don't think they're coming back tonight, but they could. I want to see the church doors fly open. See all those prodigal sons come home. Might not happen tonight. Might not happen in my lifetime. But the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. You got that? As far as I know, he's not in deep sin, but I didn't talk to him today. I don't know where my boy is tonight. But I remember the night at 7 years old, he called me into his bedroom, said he had to get saved, got down on his knees beside his bed, said, Jesus, I'm such a bad, bad, bad sinner. Would you save me? Would you forgive me? Oh, I hope to God he doesn't spend his life in the house of Dagon, a slave to Nebuchadnezzar. But I know this. If tonight the Lord descends from heaven with a shout, he is not leaving. He is not leaving to return to the Father's house until every last vessel is accounted for. And it might be a vessel unto honor, I hope it is. And it might be a vessel unto dishonor, I hope it's not. But if that thing was ever formed and fixed into the house of God for the service of God, whether it served God or up down in Babylon, it belongs to Him. And He's not leaving without it. There's men here. Not this one. This is a new one. You couldn't count the nights you've knelt at an altar over there and prayed for that son or that daughter, that grandson, that granddaughter. And there's some of you tonight, you begged God, you pleaded with God, you showed Him every promise He ever made and every verse He ever wrote. And it seemed He wasn't paying any attention. Some quit and some press on. But I know this. There's not a spoon in a sin dive tonight that was formed and fashioned and placed in the house of God that's going to be left out in that world when the captivity's over. He is taking His vessels home. I want to be a vessel unto honor till the day I die. I do. But better men than me have gone down. I don't want to quit. Some brother tonight said he'd quit for a while. I've quit for a while. It's just been little short increments. Many a Sunday night to Monday morning, I've quit. I hope I can finish honorably. I hope you can finish honorably. But if old Nebuchadnezzar gets a hold of me and chops me all to pieces and hauls me off to Babylon and abuses and misuses me in the house of a strange God, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. Every vessel of honor that was ever His is known to Him. And every vessel of dishonor that was ever His is known to Him. And He is not leaving without them. He made a heathen king count every spoon. He made a heathen treasurer count every bowl. And the caravan didn't roll out for the promised land until every last vessel was accounted for. Hallelujah. I hope all your sons and daughters come home tonight. I hope all your moms and dads get right with God. If they don't tonight, they will the night the trumpet sounds. Praise be to God. Who would have thought the Lord cared about a spoon? Who would have thought the Lord cared about a delivery man? Who would have thought the Lord cared about a farmer? Who would have thought the Lord would care about a truck driver? The devil wants you because you belong to Jesus. And if you do belong to Jesus, the devil might take control for a time. But he's going to have to turn you loose. He's not leaving here without you. Praise be to God. Father, we get so discouraged by ourselves and by the actions of others, and then we get more discouraged because you don't seem to do what we want you to do as fast as we want you to do it. And Lord, we're down here in time, and it's minutes and seconds and days, and they're passing, and you're not doing anything. Lord, you're up there in eternity. And you know right where our children are. You know right where our brothers and sisters are. You know right where those Christian friends are that used to stand with us and don't stand with us anymore. And God, I thank You that even vessels that are dishonorable will be gathered up and restored to Your house in Your time. Help us, Lord, to trust You. Keep Your promises. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.